Mercy and peace are yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As Pastor mentioned, our sermon text for this morning is the gospel lesson read earlier, John chapter 14, verses 8 to 14. We hear words again of Jesus early in that text. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." This is God's word. In the name of our Savior Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, across history, there has never been a nation, a tribe, a clan even, that identified itself first as atheistic, as not believing in any God at all. Now, to be sure, across history, there have been individuals within clan, tribe, nation, who have, really by kind of a process of self-mutilation, torn out from themselves an understanding, a sense that there's something out there, God or gods or force or organizing power, whatever it is. And across history, there have been governments that have tried to impose that on people and make atheism a part of what it meant to be under that government. But even there, in those cases, something substitutes for the divine, whether it's that individual's intellect and pride or that nation's leader. Something fills the void because it is there in every human being, even in our fallen state, this sense that there is a God, that there is something more. There's something bigger and stronger and older and smarter than I am. And to whom, that feeling is there as well, to whom I must answer in this life and in the life to come. And so across the ages, idols and ideas have filled the void. In every case, wrong, except for, of course, those who know God's word. Trust that word that God himself caused to be written in order that we might know him. In order that a request that's really there behind all those false beliefs, and that is in part and parcel tied into the true faith, a request. Show us the Father. Show us God. Let us know who he is. And so this morning we take words that the disciple Philip spoke. A request, really, that he made of Jesus. Lord, show us the Father. We make that our theme. We make that our request. Lord, show us the Father. This morning, as we hear your words, as we see your deeds, and as we live our lives of faith. Again, this morning, as has been true in recent weeks in our sermon text, we are taken to the upper room. We're taken to the night on which Jesus was betrayed, Maundy Thursday evening, a time of tension and turmoil as the disciples realize Jesus' life and ministry are coming to an end. They're not ready to believe it or accept it. Jesus has been telling them this across 3 years, telling them this must happen. And now as the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world is approaching Passover, Good Friday, that night before, he's bringing words of comfort and correction to his disciples who, despite their blessing of 3 years with Jesus, still have, well, misunderstandings, doubts, concerns. In certain ways, they seem not to get it. And yes, the turmoil is there that evening. Before, in moments before our text this evening, Jesus has had to tell Peter, "You know, for all your promises and pride, you will deny me. You will deny me." And before that, Judas is dismissed to go to do that which he had planned, to betray Jesus later in the Garden of Gethsemane. And now in verses just before our text, Jesus has told his disciples he's going away where they can't go, where he will come and take them back later. Thomas, the disciple, asked this question, Lord, we don't know where are you going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And then our text. Thomas has just been speaking, a question asked and answered by Jesus. And a follow-on to Jesus' answer to that question, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Philip seems to be asking for something that had occurred across on occasion in the pages of Scripture. Think of when Moses received just a glimpse of God's glory. Think of a vision of Isaiah, which he was privileged to receive, the Lord in his temple, a sense of the divine that was not available to him through ordinary vision and senses here on earth. Perhaps Philip had in mind something as Jesus had shared with Peter, James, and John. Jesus' own transfiguration, a revelation of his divine glory. Philip asks here, Lord, just show us God the Father. Allow us this glimpse. Give us a look so that we understand more and appreciate better all that you've said, all that's about to happen. And Jesus' reply, Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Jesus says to Philip, says to all the disciples, says to you and me, the way to see the true God, to, in this case, hear his word, is to hear these words of Jesus, certainly on this Maundy Thursday evening, but across his ministry, and really across the pages of Scripture. In another setting, Jesus had told the Jews, the words of Scripture, and speaking there of the Old Testament, are that which testify me, everything from Genesis to 2 Chronicles in the order that they knew, Genesis to Malachi, looked ahead, pointed ahead to what Jesus was doing, to his very being the Messiah. And to us too, we say, and continue Matthew through Revelation, all of Scripture from beginning to end points to Jesus. And so to Philip's request that in some fashion he glimpse God the Father in all his glory, Jesus responds simply, you do see the Father when you hear my words. Lord, show us the Father. Show us God the Father. That's our request this morning too, and God has answered it across the pages of Scripture. Those prophecies of long ago that first reminded the first sinners, our first parents, that God would answer this problem of sin and death. Yes, Adam and Eve had disobeyed, and with their disobedience had brought onto all humankind, men, women, children, boys and girls, anyone ever conceived and born, conceived in sin, the penalty of death, left us helpless to do anything for ourselves. Yet the word of God said there in the garden, the descendant of this woman will crush that serpent's head, and that promise was repeated across the pages of Scripture, amplified in various ways, channeled to the people of Israel, given to them generation after generation until Jesus came, born, the son of David, the son of Mary, in a backward little region of a quiet, or at least small, not always quiet, province of the Roman Empire. In that fulfillment, Jesus said, is this word, are these words, the words of God were being fulfilled in his very life and ministry. And time and again said to these people, I have come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Jesus pointed to himself as the good shepherd who would lay down his life for the sheep. Jesus pointed again and again by what he said to the pages of Scripture and to the promises fulfilled and amplified those promises by the things he said in the presence of these disciples, to these disciples, and to the people who encountered him in his ministry. You and I have that privilege as well. We have that word of God laid out clearly how the God of justice, the God of a right and perfect law, answered the terrible, unsolvable problem that law presents to people like me and you. all that inbred sense of a God out there, and even of a right and wrong, however imperfect, these people knowing we do need to be good. There is an accounting. There is a time when we will stand before a judge. And this word of God breaks down any notion that, well, somehow we'll be all right in front of the judge. Okay, I haven't been perfect. But then who is? I'll just compare myself to some others who I know are far worse. Surely God will look past my mistakes and know that I was trying. My intentions were good. Well, that law tells us the soul that sins is the one that will die. None of us can save himself. The good that we wanted, we can't. And that same word speaks those promises. Promises first given to our first parents and fulfilled in Jesus. And his words, as he went about his life and ministry, speak to us of what he brings. This is the night before he went to the cross. And there, as the Lamb of God did take away the sins of the world, and did so completely, cried from that cross, "It is finished." No sense of, this was just a good start, or now you do the rest, or be in some fashion like me, so self-sacrificing. None of that. It is finished. Such words Jesus sets before you and me, and the Holy Spirit's power enables us to take hold of them and know that they apply to each one of us. That we can fill our name in the blank because God so loved the world. Jesus died for the sins of the world. He gave his life as a ransom for many, for all, for you, for me. Lord, show us the Father. Show us that as we hear your words and as we see your deeds. Jesus' answer to Philip goes on. We pick it up again at the end of words just heard. "The words I say to you are not my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who does his work." We have a glimpse of Father and Son, the true God, two of the three persons, together in this work. Well, they are separate, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet they are one. And so as Jesus speaks these words, it's not just as a ventriloquist being manipulated by something else, something greater. Not just someone reading a script, but this is God himself in an intimate, incomprehensible, but true union of Father and Son, who with the Holy Spirit put that word before the world. And Jesus says, who is doing his work, the work the Father gave as he promised the Savior who was to come. Jesus goes on, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father." Jesus says to Philip and to the disciples, first of all, on the basis of the evidence that they had seen in those 3 years of shared time with Jesus as he moved about in that region of the world, bringing the good news of the arrival of the Messiah, his deeds in many ways had simply supported the authority that he brought this word of God with. What he brought to the people were the very words of God. This is the Son of God bringing those words and miracles of helping and healing and feeding and simply knowing at times, demonstrated to them, this is something special, and this is God's power, and therefore this is God's word. And there were people whom Jesus encountered who simply saw the miracles, believed in some sense, this is special, this is from God, without fully comprehending the sense of, this is the Messiah, this is my Savior. And Jesus says to Philip, well, at least have that kind of faith, have that kind of understanding that knows this is from God. And of course, by these words is leading Philip and the other disciples to a far greater understanding of these deeds. That this is Jesus. This is God's Son. This is the one who came to be our brother, born of a virgin, who lived perfectly in our place. Because the deeds Jesus refers to and points to here, certainly the miracles back up what Jesus was saying. But what he was saying was, he had come to live as our substitute. Became our perfect brother. The letter to the Hebrews tells us, tempted in every way just as we are, and yet lived a life of perfection, of holiness, exactly what God's law said needed to be. And not as a how-to manual for getting to heaven, some sort of fold-out pattern that the rest of us could then follow, but as the one who took our place to do what we could not do, and then who gave up that life as an innocent sacrifice on the cross for the redemption of all people, for the salvation of all who believe. And so as Jesus is asked by Philip, and as we consider that thought, Lord, show us the Father, we think also of Jesus' deeds. We appreciate the evidence that the Gospels particularly lay out of Jesus as the one with authority, who spoke with authority and demonstrated that authority by the power that he could use as God's Son. This is Jesus, whose words were used by the Holy Spirit, still are, to bring people to faith and to know who he is and what he is and what God has done for them too. Because all of that was leading up to the greatest deed of all, that which would happen within 24 hours, far less than that, when Jesus would give up his life on the cross. And so as we say, Lord, show us the God, the Father, show us who God is. Well, our eyes turn to especially the cross as that greatest deed of all, that which God used, Jesus did, in order to accomplish for us the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, and the peace and the joy in which we now live. Lord, show us the Father. Show us the Father also as then we live our lives of faith. Jesus went on, for Philip and for the disciples that evening, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Pause and consider that for a moment, what he was saying to these disciples. First, the timetable. Yes, he was about to die. Within a little more than 3 days, he would rise again. Within about 40 from that, he would rise into heaven with his ascension, visibly removed from them, but with a promise he would be with them always, and told them to wait until the Holy Spirit would equip them, as it turned out about 10 days after the ascension, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to preach this good news of Jesus. They would do greater things than he. And yes, we have record of some of the apostles performing miracles, doing things in God's power, in the same way that, well, God's authority was demonstrated in those things as well, as they brought God's word to people. But it's something yet more than that, that isn't as much about, as the world sees it, spectacular, and yet is far greater. Jesus goes on, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. That phrase, in my name, just to say it out loud, is not some magic formula or special incantation or password we bring to our prayers so we get what we want. What's described here, Jesus sums up, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. In my name, Jesus is saying, whatever you ask in accord with my will, that is lined up with God's short-term, near-at-hand will for us in our lives and for the far bigger and greater picture and purpose of sharing that word with the world, those things will be granted to you. And to this matter of doing, well, greater things than these, think of Jesus' life and ministry. Were it not for his resurrection, we wouldn't know of him. The spectacular deeds, those special words, would have faded from memory as people wondered about that nice man who died so hard. But we know what happened. He did rise. He did ascend. He did send his Holy Spirit. And these weak, troubled men of Maundy Thursday evening went forth as Pentecost-equipped apostles to share this good news, in echoing across cultures and nations and oceans and down through the ages to people like you and me. And great things have occurred. It is no less a miracle that this poor, miserable sinner, conceived in sin in his mother's womb, believes and knows and trusts that Jesus is my Savior, and each of us can say that. And each of us can share that good news with the wider world, the greater things. All of this is done on the basis of that one great thing that was about to happen, that the Son of God would die, that the immortal God, our brother and true man, would give up his life to pay for the sins of the world, and on the basis of that, all else would happen. All else would happen. And so, yes, greater things. We do know about this Jesus. His word will stand forever, and his gospel has gone forth in order that we might then live our lives in peace and joy. being helpful in whatever way we can to carry out the work that Jesus had for these men, for all believers. Helpful perhaps with our own voices, able to share this good news of Jesus with a neighbor, a friend, a family member. Maybe it's the voice that encourages a young person, or maybe not so young, to think about ministry as a full-time teacher of God's word in a classroom, as a staff minister, as a pastor, as a missionary, going forth equipped to share. Perhaps the opportunity is there as we live our lives of faith to add those skills and talents that have found their application in our homes and communities also to the life of a congregation, as we craft a sign, as we keep the books, as we offer wisdom and insight from whatever expertise God has granted us to have. It's there as young encourage old by their help and assistance. It's there as the old set an example for the young and tell them how God has blessed them across their lives. It's for all of us as Christians living and working together to do something way bigger, to participate in what God has established by the power of His Word. Such a blessing is ours as we say, Lord, show us the Father, also as then we live our lives with faith. And it's important that we do, because our culture and our time is no different than all the others. It too has its images, its impressions of God, whether they are worshiping idols of stone or wood, or idols of ideas and philosophies and a better way and a better knowledge. Whatever it is, we go forth with an answer to this request. Lord, show us the Father. Because those other things, every other false religion, every false religion has this behind it. I'm going to do something. I'm going to be something. I'm going to show God something. Or, saddest of all, I don't need God because I am something. We go forth with the answer to this. This is the God of justice who answered His own just will in His law with His own Son's life. And with that life then, gave to you and to me and to all who believe the forgiveness of sins, peace and joy. Lord, show us the Father. By His word, we do see God the Father because we see Jesus.